podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the JMS Boxing Podcast with me, John.
I'm Sam.
And today's guest, we have got Taiwo Titanium T. Masuro.
AKA Taiwo Masuro.
That is a mouthful. How's it going? You all right?
Yes, I'm great. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you joining us last minute notice as well. We literally messaged you last night. So thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. It's all right.
We'll pick the, like, we'll talk about your career so far, starting out, everything like that. And we'll just get into it. I'll strip it right back. How did you get into boxing?
Oof. You know what? I'll go back forth because I've been boxing for going into 14 years overall. I started off in year 9, but I got into boxing as, I know I'm not, it's not good to say, but I'll say it anyway. I used to be a bully in school.
Okay.
And I'm not proud to say that because a lot has changed over the years. Mm-hmm. I'm a better person now, way better person. And I used to get into troubles a lot in school, and I used to get into a lot of fights, male, female. But I had a friend, I'll never forget his name. His dad was a MMA coach, and he owned the gym. And he said to me, since you like fighting so much, why don't you just come to my gym and you can just train there instead of just, you know. And I was like, okay, no problem. We went there on a Saturday, and I did every training session I could find. So I did BJJ, Taekwondo, MMA, mixed martial arts. And none of them I found very attractive.
Okay. Until who was the coach? Don't mind me asking.
I can't remember.
Oh, okay,
we're
not
talking,
good.
We're talking years ago.
Okay.
But I do know the guy, my friend that introduced, I do know his name. His name's Simeon.
Okay.
If you can hear me. I don't know if you listen to the podcast or not. But his name's Simeon. So his dad then introduced me to boxing. And from then onwards, I've just fell in love because every other sport that's relating to combat sports, you have two other parts of your body. Mm-hmm. So elbows, knees, and to me, that's too much.
Right.
I mean, you know? So I thought, you know what? I saw boxing and I took it on.
Do you think, obviously, you're saying about the self-reflection, yourself saying about a bully, do you think that going to maybe the martial arts / boxing, do you think it taught you the discipline that probably?
It taught me a lot about self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Taught me a lot about awareness and how you see other people. When people reflect back on you doesn't mean you should reflect bad to them as well.
Yeah.
You know, so there's always something I've been taught about temper and controlling oneself because, you know, just because you're an angry person doesn't mean you should lash out at everybody, even people, the ones that are trying to help you out as well. So that's what his dad, the trainer, taught me about learning to control yourself at the right time. Yeah. At the right place, you know, in a public place, it's not the best place ever. In any place, you know, especially if you're angry, it's better for you to just find something to channel that energy to. And for me, it was combat sport, and I like to fight anyway. I don't know. You can't see on a podcast, but you can see the difference between my knuckles.
Yeah, I was going to say your middle knuckle there on your right hand is on the camera, but your middle knuckle is absolutely massive.
Yeah. So I've fought many places, many things. So I've been into combat sport for a long time. So I thought, let me just, first of all, the dad actually put me off a competition.
Okay.
Illegal fighting, you know, like, what do you want to call it? Unlicensed,
yeah.
And I think he was making money out of it from me, but I didn't know that because I was still young at that time. You know, I didn't know what, I was just going to train. And he was telling me, we've got competition too, let's go. And until I went to my first white collar fight, and that's where it actually began. And they told me that we're going to sign you up to this and we'll see where it goes from there.
Oh, so you didn't start out with an amateur career then?
No.
No, so you started on the unlicensed thing?
I just started fighting because I like to fight.
Yeah.
And one thing led to another. I saw this post online about you can be a good boxer within 8 weeks.
the proper white collar. Yeah,
within 8 weeks you can be, we can turn you into a good, not a professional boxer.
Yeah,
but a good, an average boxer. And I told my partner about it, and she was like, "Go for it."
How old was you at the time?
15.
Okay.
16 at that time. But they wouldn't allow me to do it until I was over 18.
Right.
So now I'm thinking to myself, because they do it every year. So I was thinking to myself, I've got a few, 2 years basically to be better than everybody else. Because for me, everybody is a challenge, you know. And I just kept on going to that same gym.
What gym was that?
It's called Nemesis in Erith. I'm from Woolwich, by the way, originally. Yeah. Nigerian, grew up in Woolwich, South East London, Greenwich area. And I only moved down to Kent this year. So I'm originally from Woolwich, and that area was where I kind of started out originally for boxing.
And then you just went to Nemesis Gym, Erith.
I went to Nemesis. That's where the whole thing started.
Yeah.
Went to Nemesis, Erith. I was there for about a year or two. Then as I grew older, you know, you travel a lot. You go to different places. You meet people in the gym, and they recommend you to go over elsewhere to learn from other people. They, you know, basically word of mouth spreads a lot. And I heard of Peacock's.
Yes. Yeah.
Gym in Canada.
Which is obviously well-renowned. Yeah. Peacock Gym.
And one of the reasons I went there was because of Anthony Yard.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I started to watch more boxing because I started to get more into it because I wanted to be really good. I didn't want to be great. I just wanted to be good. So you start watching movies, you know, trailers and stuff like that. And I went to Peacock to look for Anthony Yard. And when I got in there, the atmosphere was blitz. He wasn't even there yet when I got there. So I said, okay, look, I had my kit with me. I was like, okay, let me just see what this gym is about. And I stayed there for 3-4 months. And then I met my coach. The first coach I ever had that I was going to take me seriously was Tony Cisse.
Okay.
I don't know if you know about Tony Cisse. He used to fight for Repton. Legend.
Which Repton's another well-renowned gym. Yes. I know, obviously, Repton.
I fought for, I didn't fight for them. I fought many of the boxers.
Right.
Most of them are probably pros now, or they've stopped boxing. But I met Tony Cisse and I told him I want to fight, you know, because at this point, I think the boxing has now changed me.
Yeah.
And all I think about is now getting better.
So when you started out, did any like thoughts of the amateur side ever come in?
No.
No, just straight.
It was when I met Tony.
Okay.
That, because I think he thought, when I said I wanted to fight, I think he thought, oh, maybe he wants to be part of my club. He wants to be the amateurs. He wants to do this. I didn't know anything about amateurs because my friend's dad, I can't remember his name, but he didn't tell me. I don't know about amateur. I just fought unlicensed fights. You know, white collar fights was what I knew. I didn't know about amateur. I didn't even know there was stuff, anything called amateur boxing.
How many white collar fights did you have before?
I had two.
Yeah, two. Okay. And then I turned up at Peacock's
and I met Tony and I told him and he said to me, okay, let's see what you got. Then he put me in the ring with one of the good boxers. I've actually still got a video on my phone actually. I'll never forget that day. And this was about this was 2019.
Right.
Now. So I'm over 18 at this point now. And obviously this time you're doing the uni, you've got sixth form, you can't really do too much with exams in a way and stuff. So I was still training, but I wasn't training as intense because exams.
Yeah.
So when all of that stuff was over, I was like, okay, let's focus on something else now. And I took on boxing, then I went to Peacock's and I met Tony, and then he put me in a ring with one of his fighters. I think I beat him up. But as you can tell, my stance wasn't there.
Right.
All I knew was aggressive. Yeah. So my stance wasn't there. My form was not upright. I wasn't as good as I am. Basically. So, and then he saw me and I was like, okay, you might have a chance. You might have a chance. I started laughing. I was like, okay. No problem. Then he said, come back tomorrow. You can stay and train and come back tomorrow. Tomorrow came. And I was like, okay. So it gave me a routine of what we're going to do today and then tomorrow and then basically for the rest of the week. And then he asked me, what's my weight? I was like, what's that? What does that mean?
Yeah.
And he said to me, then he explained to me about weight divisions,
mm-hmm.
the different weight classes that there is, which one I would fall under, and the kind of people I was sparring based on height experiences and stuff. So it was now breaking down to me the boxing basics. And to me, I didn't know. I was like playing it by ear because I just wanted to fight at this point. But I know it's important for me to listen to him because if he's going to take me on, he's the one that's experienced in this field.
Especially with Peacock Gym being as well renowned. And as far as I'm aware, there is an to be trained by a Peacock, it's invite only. If I remember rightly, it's an invite-only gym. There is two sides to the gym. Obviously, you've got a normal boxing gym.
Yeah.
But I know there's an invite-only. So you must have impressed to then get invited back.
So have you ever been in?
I haven't, to be fair.
You go in, you've got the main
gym.
Then you've got that little side one.
Yeah, so that little side there, the one you see,
yeah.
That's only for Peacock Club. No one else is allowed to go in there.
Right, so that's the invite-only part. I take it.
You can say that. So it's like when someone comes to your house, you have a living room, everyone can go into, and then you have your bedroom.
Yeah. But no one goes in.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Unless you bring somebody
in. Yeah.
That room there was only for Peacock fighters, pros, that are sparring with the amateurs or pros, Peacock's pros, that's fighting with other pros as well. Once they go in there, they close the door.
And
you don't know what goes on in there. What goes in there goes in there.
It doesn't get spoken about.
So with Tony, as I went to Tony and then I started going to Peacocks, I was strong, naturally strong. I didn't know that. So all these little things, he was picking out of me and he was like, this guy could be a potential great boxer, good boxer, however you want to put it. And I was like, okay. He was giving me more information about my skills, telling me what to work on. I've got all the training, not everything, but most of the videos I've still got on my phone.
Okay.
Yeah, because I always look back at where I started from because, you might be doing good, but never forget where you came from because you might need to go back there for whatever reason.
Gives you a good point of reference
as well. Yeah, because this sport is not, it's not balance. There's favoritism. I mean,
it's true.
There's favoritism.
Yeah.
If you're a great boxer, automatically, people are going to like you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an okay boxer, you might have a bit of a fair show with fans and people who want to follow you or not. But if you're terrible, they'll just mock you. You know, especially if you're calling people out, if you're on the red side. But as I went on with Tony, I did one white collar with him. And I think that he wanted to find out what I've learned before he puts me in the amateur.
Okay.
Basically, because I think that's what he does with his fighters, I think. He put me with one white collar. I won that fight. I've still got that white collar on my phone. I won that fight. And it was like, okay, you seem ready. Funny enough, the first fight I ever did for Tony was the 2019 London Development Championship.
Right.
That was the first fight I ever did in amateur. And I won it. And the guy I fought is Devin Miller. Do you know Devin Miller?
Rings a bell.
Tall guy, dreads. Me and him still talk. We spar each other every now and then. He's a heavyweight now, but he was cruiserweight back then. He's pro now. I think he's 5-0. So he was the first one. He's about 6'2". I'm 5'11". I didn't know because this time there was no head guard. The white collar, there was a head guard.
Okay.
But amateur, there wasn't. I was scared as hell. Where's the head guard? He said, this is a different game, boy. There's no head guard in this. This is just skill. Based on skill and talent. And I was like, okay. Because at this point, I didn't even know I had a fragile nose. I didn't know nothing about my face.
Yeah.
How strong I am with my face, how much punch I can take.
Trying to learn everything on the job.
On the job. Because for him, if I can win a white collar fight, because white collar fight, there's no rules. Well, there's rules, but there's not.
It's not as stringent as amateurs.
Amateurs or pro.
Well, I think the style suits pro more, doesn't it, as well? Because amateurs is more points based. Well, I imagine come on to that. But I know as pros, you can sit down on your punches and you throw them.
Yeah, with pros and that. Like the way I train now is basically just pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 minutes, 6, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Yeah. And you have 3 minutes, you can take your time. Mm-hmm. Because you know you have that rounds to go. Why do you want to waste it all in the first 3 minutes?
Yeah, of course.
So that's it, yeah.
So, see, go on.
No.
I was going to say, so you hit the London development.
Yeah.
You fight Miller and then...
Yeah, I fought Miller. And from then onwards, we didn't fight. This was about 2000 and... It was 2019, I think it was towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had one more fight. And then he called it quits because of Christmas season, New Year's and stuff like that. But when 2020 came, I think I had 2-3 fights to begin, beginning of the year, and then COVID hit.
It seems to be. How old are you then?
I'm 28 now.
You're 28 now, yeah.
Yeah. So 24 years ago.
20, yeah. Yeah, 24, so 25, COVID yeah. hit. Yeah.
COVID hit. But this is what I love about Tony, right? COVID hit. There was no amateurs. So what he would do then was tell me to come to his house. And I was working full time at this point, right? So come to my house and we'd train in his garden. I got the videos on my phone. Training in his garden. He literally set up his garden as a boxing gym. He used his garage, took his car out, turned his garage into a boxing gym. So he put the medicine ball,
yeah,
the speed ball, and 3 heavy bags in there. And then you had the pads and then... So it was me, Joel Cordova. You know Joel Cordova, who's signed with Frank Ryan right now?
Again, he's...
You know Tunde?
Yeah.
His new prospect.
Okay.
Is Joel. Me and him trained as well. And then there was another guy. I'm not good with names, but, you know, I have him on Instagram. If he watches this, he'll probably know what I'm talking about. All three of us were basically fighting for Tony. At this point, but Tony is the kind of guy that doesn't want us to lack off our skill,
right?
Just because we're in COVID or just because we're working, just because we did never lack off our skill. Because there could be a moment, because with amateurs, you don't just get fights like this, you have to get put into the fights, and then they'll make England boxing will then make a table for whoever's gonna fight who based on your weight classes, right? And he then will put our name down because he thinks we're ready.
So you didn't do any type of inter-club amateurs or anything like that? You were going straight into tournaments?
Yeah, because that was the best way to get your numbers up.
Yeah.
Right? And if there was no tournaments, other clubs are doing a show, amateur show. And then he would then ask, do you have any weight club? So with coaches, they have a group... on WhatsApp based on the borough that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, he's in, I think that's Newham, isn't it?
Peacock would be, I think so. I'm not.
I think because when I go on a job,
you're sticking me on the spot with my geography, aren't you?
No, I'm just based on the billboards I've seen on Welcome to this area, you know? I'll just say Newham. Mm. Right, and every coach in that borough has all the boxing clubs in there, and a club is going to say we're having a show on this date. Do you have any boxers that want to come involved? And then he then asks us, do we want to fight? Are you ready? If you say yeah, sometimes some coaches don't, because they always think you're ready anyway.
Yeah,
we just put your name in there. And then once the table comes out, then they'll tell you, you got to fight on this day, you got to make weight. This is the weight you got to make. So you have about four to five weeks to make weight for that. And then but with Tony, during COVID, all he did was just make us train, run sprints. We would spar each other, even though sparring wasn't allowed. So we were kind of going...
You're getting by. You're doing what you needed to do. You're doing what you needed to do.
Being honest with you, when we did go back, to boxing, I can tell you right now, that's where I go most of my wins. Because a lot of people I could tell now were not training during COVID.
Right.
Most of them were just laid back or they were doing whatever they were, what they were doing. But that's where I got most of my wins because we never slept. We never were rested. Tony will call us, where are you? You know, sometimes if he says he can't make it, he will give us a little table. You need to do this. I need to see proof. If you don't do it, don't come back to him.
So he's quite, it was quite strict, yeah.
I think that's what he's known for in Peacocks. Because every time you, before COVID, people were like, he's going to be a great boxer, go to Tony. And he's very well known.
Mm-hmm.
In the pros and in the amateurs, very well known. That's why I'm surprised some people, when I tell them who Tony Cisse is, they don't know who he is. So I'm pretty privileged to have been trained by him. He's connected me to a lot of people. Doing sparring.
Yeah.
So when sparring, he will take me to this place. He's, because of him, I've sparred Dan Aziz.
Yep.
I've sparred Craig Richards. I can't say I've sparred with Conor Benn because the weight class was different. I've sparred a lot of, what's his name? Zorro?
Yeah.
I've sparred Zorro.
Yeah.
I've sparred Too Sharp.
Yeah, who fought last night.
Those lot were training.
Denzel Bentley.
Yeah.
Yeah, those he fought last training. Night, wasn't he?
Yeah, how'd that go? Because I didn't...
He lost.
No.
Yeah, sorry. I'll speak to you after about anyway.
No problem. But that settings there, well, training with, that's Peacock's pro. Pro and Peacock's boxing, that's their pro bundle of boxers, right? And then they moved to Epping. I think it was Epping. So I always had to go there.
Yeah.
And spar with them there. And I wouldn't go home. But because of him, I'm very well. I don't want to say I'm well known.
Yeah.
But people know of me.
Some people
know of me. Not everybody.
So you got out of COVID and you said you got most of your wins. Did you carry on with the amateur then?
Yeah.
Did you do the ABAs?
Yeah, I did. I did London Championship.
Yeah. You won that, didn't you? Won the first one.
No, I got robbed for that one.
Oh, all right, okay.
And I would never forget that fight because I think two or three stopped counting stand, but they still gave it to him.
Oh, okay.
I got that video on my phone, you know, because, and like I said, it's favoritism, right?
Mm.
The kid was young, way younger than me. He was taller than me. I don't want to be saying too much things because, you know, but let's just say he knows somebody.
We know the game, don't worry. We know the game, don't worry.
His coach knows someone that knows someone.
Yeah.
Because he had a plan after that. But he won it anyway. And that just put me off. And my coach think he knows I got robbed, but he was going to put the blame on me saying I didn't work hard enough.
Right, okay.
I should have done this, should have done that. Always reflecting back. But the thing is, you can't always blame the fighter every time, because as a coach, yeah, you might see it differently from outside of the ring, but in the ring, what you want me to work on cannot work.
Yeah,
because the other fighter has a leverage of something that I don't have. For example, height and reach.
Mm-hmm.
I was short in that ring, but I had more work rate than him. He was just, he's a picker, just picks his shots.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what he did. That's how he won the fight, supposedly. But I didn't get mad because I know that means I've got to improve on how I need to learn from my opponent. I need to watch my opponent and to make sure I analyze it very carefully, you know. And that was 2019. So 2021 came.
Yep.
I didn't do any championship fights.
Okay.
That year. It was just fights.
The interclub shows and stuff like that.
It was just fights. But I did change clubs halfway through because when I moved house, the journey was too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like taking me almost two hours to go there.
Still full-time working as well.
Yeah. 2 hours to go there, 3 hours to go home.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the time difference was not matching. And he was also bailing me off. So I said, I got to go to a gym that's closer to me. And then I moved to Don Davis. Have you heard of Don Davis?
I haven't. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, I moved to Don Davis Boxing Gym.
Where's that?
That's in Boxall.
Okay.
That's in South Wales. So in central London,
mm-hmm.
basically, and that's why I work till now. And it was taking me 5 minutes to get to training from home, no, from work,
mm-hmm.
and taking me about an hour to get home. So, but I met this guy, the owner of the gym, through Tony.
Oh, okay. So he helped. I'm taking it. He helps because of travel and stuff. Because
we met, like I said, I've met a lot of people many times with Tony. So, I just thought, you know, that's the best one. That's advantage to me because I can't keep doing that travel. And I met him through Tony, and then we carried on again. Took a while for me to get fat from there because you have to change clubs.
Yeah,
your
different card. Yeah.
So that took a while.
So ABAs.
ABAs. So this year was when I won most of my wins.
Right.
Most of my championship fights. So I'll tell you another story with Don Davis. I won the London champion this year.
Mm-hmm.
Tri Nations. I became second. The ABAs, I came third. But I didn't. It was the same fight. I lost
right.
him twice.
Right.
I forgot his name. I think his name is Adam Laurie, right? Great fighter. My goodness. He lives in Sheffield, but he's a... Yeah, you got to look out for him as well. So I won one step this year, and then because I was getting of age now, everyone was now asking me, what are you going to do next? What's the next thing you're going to do? And with me, I wanted to turn pro the moment when I stepped into Peacocks.
Okay.
Because I knew... The atmosphere was all me,
mm-hmm.
you know. Obviously, like I said, I'll always thank my friend Simeon that helped me out in the first place because I don't think without him, I don't think I'll be
doing stuff like this. Stuff yeah, like this.
Traveling.
Yeah,
you know, and meeting different people, different boxes, different coaches, and you know, through my works, I've met other managers and other coaches that have loved me to come and fight their pros.
Okay.
So I've traveled for pro, like doing amateurs, I've fought many pros as well. Many pros as well. And they said that I'm one to look out for, you know, because got a big potential here. Mm. And I take it with a grain of salt because every compliment, there's always something negative behind it. It's just sometimes make you want to look, but they could be right.
Yeah.
Could be wrong because they don't want to hurt your feelings, you know. So I took it on and then, I'm here now.
So who did you sign with?
Mark Pryor.
Mark Pryor. We met him. And obviously we spoke to you down York Hall.
Yeah, so when I went to do my meeting,
mm-hmm.
his colleague, the guy that introduced me to you,
Stuart.
Yeah, Stuart, that's it. He was the one that told me to calm down that day. To speak to you guys, and I had to renew my management contract with Mo as well because the one was overlapsed.
Yeah.
And British Boxing Board wanted a new contract. So that's why I came down and I was like, okay, let me use this opportunity to network and see who.
Same with us. I think it was a good opportunity for us to network, obviously speak to the part of the podcast is to obviously speak to guys like yourself get their stories up and running and speaking about behind it. The million dollar question. What's next?
So, I'm just waiting for a fight date. No.
Looking next year?
Yeah, most likely. Because I spoke to Mo,
mm-hmm.
And he said they're fully booked already from now to the end of December. But their last show is on the 18th of December.
Mm-hmm.
That if somebody was to pull out.
You're ready to go.
Yeah.
What weight do you fight at?
So they're in amateurs. I was cruiserweight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was cruiserweight. For the whole... I've had 21 fights now. 21 fights. 16 wins. And is it five?
Five
losses.
Yeah.
But those five losses, two of them, I would say I did lose.
Yeah, yeah.
Three, I didn't. It was cheat. Because, like I say, you shouldn't say you cheated in boxing. Just say you didn't
perform. Yeah, we did. Yeah. We know the crack.
But for those who don't know, I think some people know by now that based on the Tyson Fury and Francis Ngannou fight, you can say that boxing is not by the book sometimes. Yeah. You know, so what's next now? It's next year. I'm ready.
Like, I've been waiting for this moment for since the England fight with Scotland and Wales.
Okay.
Is it Scotland or what? I think it is, isn't it?
The Tri-Nations, and
a lot of people that I fought that tournament with that was on the blue side, you know Cameron Vong? He signed with Eddie Hearn?
No.
No? A lot of them now, they've had like 4 or 5 fights. So. Mm. But the only reason my one took a long time was for my brain scan.
Ah, okay, yeah.
You know you got to do a brain scan.
Yeah, double, and it's also doubled in price as well. So it used to be 300. Yeah, it used to be 300, now it's 600. Yeah, 700 now.
700.
Where's that extra 100? Because you, and you, if you weren't a boxer, it would be back down to £300.
Yeah, but obviously I got this person through Mo introduced me to this guy, so he gave me this original price, 1700. It's the origin. If for example, if I had to go out, because it's private,
and you
need it quick.
Yeah.
Pretty boxing world can't wait forever. If you don't go through the NHS and you go through private, that's the price you're
leaving. Yeah.
Literally. And because of that, I've had to do something called a neuro. I got to see a neuropsychologist.
Right.
About assessment. So emotions, memory. See if everything is working fine, because at the end of the day, they want to make sure that you're okay.
Doing the due diligence.
Fights that you've had, you could have had something that you didn't know.
Yeah, doing more due diligence.
That's why a lot of people don't do that much amateur fights anymore. They do 5, 6, and then the temporal.
Ticket deal you've got, or is it a, how is yours working? Well,
with Mo?
Mo, yeah.
Everything is involved in that contract with Mo, because fights, but the sponsorships, I've got to get that myself.
Yeah. No, see, are you going as the home fighter?
He said that the last show is going to, I have to come to that fight.
So it's the 8th of December or the 18th?
18th. Oh, okay. The completely last one. I have to come to that. I have to step in the ring with him, and then he's going to talk to the fans, saying I'm one to look up for. This is out of my control, by the way. I didn't plan this. I think my coach must have done this, must have said this to him, because I can't wait for you guys to see what kind of fighter I am. Because
describe yourself as a...
So when people ask me, who do I look up to? I have two in favor, which is Canelo and Mike Tyson. So my plan is, not even my plan, what I do now anyway, is I attack like Mike Tyson, but I defend like Canelo.
Okay.
I'm never a back foot fighter because I hate stepping backwards. Of course, you will have to step back at certain occasions, but the majority of my fights has always been, I'm a front foot fighter. You know, a punch don't scare me, a knockout doesn't scare me because I know where I got in there. You know, a lot of people tend to want to keep themselves reserved for later rounds, which is okay. But for me, if I see an opening, it's not even a question of, should I take it?
Yeah.
No, wait for the next moment, because that moment could never come. And the only reason why that titanium name came from was my friends from school. Okay. And his name is Alex. My boy Alex was the first one to ever call me that name. And everybody else, because my set of friends, the friends I have now, most of them were all into the same school.
Yeah.
We grew up together. Some of them are married, kids and stuff moved on. Me, I'm taking my way, just so anyone that's looking.
Don't fix that tough podcast.
I know what you mean, but what was I just going to say?
You said about your friends.
Yeah. So that's where the name came from.
Mm.
I didn't know what to call myself. So one of my friends said, take that name and run with it. Because it rhymes with my name.
Yeah.
You know, Taiwo, Titanium, and my logo.
It's a mouthful.
I know. I didn't bring the logo. It's a ball. Okay. So Very masculine ball.
And you're, where are you training now? Because you're now based in Kent. Yeah, Medway.
No, Unique Fitness.
Yeah.
I train there. And I also go to Guildford.
Okay. So you're still travelling.
Yeah.
Quite far away.
Yeah, but I meet my coach. My coach lives in the, right in the middle.
Right.
So I meet him there. And then we go to, I pop in and he drives us to Guildford and then I train there. I spar some good fighters there. Because I forgot his name again. His name is John. And he's a upcoming. He used to work with Frank Warren and he said he's worked with a lot of managers. I didn't really go into details about.
Okay, yeah.
Because that part of me, as a boxer, you will never deal with management sides. You can just be. So if you're going up to look for a fact for me, all you got to do is question me. Do I want to fight this person?
Yeah.
Stuff. All I got to say is yes or no. But in terms of dealing with the businesses and stuff like that, that's what managers are there for.
Mm-hmm.
In terms, you know, that's how my coach met. That's how Moore introduced me to him, actually. And that's how me and we started becoming more intellectual with each other, going there every weekend. If he needs me, I'll go there. If I need him, he comes to my gym as well.
Cool. Look forward to, hopefully, if you're on one of the cards that we're going to be up doing the media stuff, it'll be good to get to feature up there.
Moore said... like I said, I could be fighting on the 18th.
Yeah.
If somebody was to pull out.
Where is the 18th? Where is
it's
that?
It's going to be your call.
It's going to be your call?
Yeah,
it's going to be your call. You see me there as well. Even if I'm not fighting, I'll be there.
The one thing I think we both said, absolute brimming with self-confidence, and which is, for like I like that because as a boxer, you have to.
That's going to be a faint.
Yeah, but when you first started, when he was absolutely ripping people's heads off, he was brimming with self-confidence.
Yeah.
How far do you think you'll get?
I'm going to history books. And I know it's... Actually, I don't even want to say it's weird for me to say, but I know the kind of fighter that I am.
Mm.
And I'm telling you right now, I don't play games. I know you've probably heard it before from other boxers that you've interviewed, but with me, I come with... This is what I tell my opponent in my head. When you come to fight me, bring a pillow, bring a blanket, bring your mum, and bring a bedtime story. Because I'm not the one that's going to be reading it to you. I'm going to come in there, I'm going to do my business, and then your mom's going to continue the rest and just read you and just put you to sleep. Because I've all my 16 fights, I've had, I think, 6 or 7 knockouts. And that's where one of these came from.
Right. Your big knuckle.
I don't feel pain.
Mm.
My pain threshold is quite high. So for someone to jab me and stuff like that, it doesn't, you know, because when I first started, I had to cauterize my nose before.
Yeah.
Because I had always had running nose.
Yeah.
But before that, Tony taught me about defense. He said, that's the only thing that can save you, man. You know, and reading your opponents properly. Because if you don't read them and they read you, you already lost the match before it even starts. You know, that's why sometimes with me, I might start off a little bit slow.
Yeah.
Because you have to gauge your fighter. You have to, like, within 1 minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to know the reach. You have to know the distance that they fight out, the kind of power that they have. Because without that, you just forget it. You've already lost the fight. But then again, you could change later on.
Mm-hmm.
Because they might get tired, but you have more stamina than them. You know? But all I'm saying is when Titanium comes out, when my debut comes out, you have to be there.
We will. We'll.
And those who are watching, you have to come. Because this is not... I'm not just an average fighter that just comes in and does the bare minimum. I do more than that. I'm aggressive, you know. I think before I act,
mm-hmm.
because I'm a cautious fighter, but I'm also a dangerous fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, in your head, think about Mike Tyson and Canelo together in one. That is a fighter you don't want. That's a fighter you don't want, you know. And I want to get as high as Mayweather and Canelo, if not higher. You know, that's my plan, is to reach that high. And if I can go further than that, of course, I'll take the chance when it comes, you know. So That's me, man.
Yeah, no. But, anything else you want to add?
If there's any updates, obviously you guys have my social media.
Yeah.
It's all going to be on there.
And that's Titanium T, isn't it?
On your Titanium T Fitness.
Yeah.
No space.
Okay.
It's just one word.
One thing we like to do with all our guests is their favourite, so their perfect boxer by different attributes. Obviously, I've spoke about different boxers. I'll put you on the spot. So if you, and it could be past, present, doesn't matter, so if I said who has the best boxing IQ?
Mayweather.
Punch power?
Tyson. Mike Tyson.
Chin?
Canelo.
What about attacking prowess?
That's a lot. Attacking prowess.
Yeah, it's one that's set up there attacking the best. And
Javante Davis. This is a new thing that I know.
Footwork, Stevenson, and then defensive
Canelo.
Thank you for joining us. If you like the episode, it's on Patreon, £3 a month, and all our socials, the JMS Boxing Podcast. Cheers. Sports Social Podcast Network.